Well, good morning. Can you all hear me? Because I haven't put the mic on this morning. You're okay at the back? Okay, well, last time when we looked at these verses, we saw that we are to continue to live and walk in Him, being rooted, being built up, being knitted together. And the reason for this, a purpose for this, is so that we will not be held captive, that we would not be led away following the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've just heard, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So we're going to look at this morning what we didn't have time for last time, which is being established in the faith as you have been taught, and then hopefully we'll get time to look at abounding with thanksgiving. You see, I think we realized last time that there is an enemy, and he wants us to be on a different path. He wants to take us captive. He wants us to follow a different Jesus. He wants us to believe a different gospel. And if he could, he would like nothing more but to pull us up by the roots, destroy the building, make us lame, living in defeat. And Paul describes it this way: don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophy, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking, from spiritual powers of this world, and not from Jesus. There is a battle. And anyone who tells you that becoming the follower and the believer in Jesus, everything gets easy, is not telling you the truth. When you give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ, there is a thief who is out, and he wants to, if he could, destroy you, because he's a thief and he's a liar. And so this morning, I want us to consider two ways that will help us to stay rooted, help us being built into that spiritual building, and I believe prevent us from being taken captive by the lies that seem like truth. So we need to be established or strengthened in the faith by teaching, and we need to be abounding with thanksgiving. And so the first one, we need to be strengthened, established in the faith by teaching. Teaching will give us a solid foundation. You know what believers are called? They're called disciples. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. Do you know what the word disciple means? It means learner. And if you're a learner, we're all learners, we're continually learning, it means we need to be taught. And therefore, teaching is an important part of us being established and strengthened in the faith. You know, we recently looked at, for example, we've been looking in the home group at 1 John. And one thing you might find in 1 John, which will help us not to be taken captive, is that 1 John tells us how to recognise an antichrist. And therefore, an antichrist will deny Jesus Christ, will deny the truth of Jesus Christ, will deny that he came in the flesh. And John says, that's how you can spot them. There are many antichrists in the world. And these antichrists are trying to get Christians to believe that Jesus was not divine, that Jesus was not born of a virgin. And if we knew the teaching on that, do you see how teaching helps us not to be taken captive by the thoughts of man? So when a liar comes, a wolf in sheep's clothing, disguised as an angel of light, and he says Jesus was not God in the flesh, you can stay rooted. The building can stay intact because you've been established in the faith by teaching. And I want to say this morning how important teaching is to strengthen us, to establish us in the faith. Paul was aware that in Colossae and Laodicea, there was many. He wanted to take believers captive by false teachings about Jesus. See, he tells them, we've heard it this morning, he told the church of Colossae they were strong, they were firm in their faith, but he said they must continue to walk, live, rooted, built, strengthened by the teaching you have been taught. Remember what you have been taught. So what should we know? Well, I'm not going to go into this morning, but I'm just going to ask you. If you don't know what all this means, speak to me or Pastor Kirk afterwards, because this is what Paul lays out in the book of Hebrews as what we must know, what we must be strengthened and established in, which will help us in our walk in him and living in him. He says in Hebrews, leave the elementary teachings of Jesus. Oh, actually, it hasn't. Do you know what? I should read it, actually, and normally this got the scripture for me. So can someone find Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12? But something's happened with my software. Doesn't matter. We'll improvise. Hebrews chapter 5, and then I should have done a sword drill, shouldn't I? Hebrews chapter 5, and then when someone's got Hebrews chapter 5, would they stand up, so I know they've got it, and then read from verse 12 to verse 2 of chapter 6. Yes, Mac.
In fact, like what this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, is by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands,
thank you. What Paul is saying here, and from Colossae, is saying this: we need to be established, strengthened in the faith by teaching. And he said, this is what every following Christ, every believer, everyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord, this is what you should know. The elementary, or if you like, infant teaching, if I can put it that way, is the doctrine of Christ, that you know what the Bible teaches about Jesus, that you know the truth about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, what the Gospels will teach us. And then he says, once you've got all that, this is like your junior school stuff, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, it's plural, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead, the eternal judgment. He says, before we can get into maturity, before you can get to the university, if you like, you need to be grounded in these truths. You need to have these established in your life. You need to know what they are. Why? Because someone is a liar. Someone is a deceiver, and he will try and twist the scriptures. But Paul says if you're strengthened and established in your faith, he's got no chance. Teaching is important. We need to have confidence and assurance in what the Bible teaches about Jesus. Or we can easily believe a lie. No wonder Paul had a heart that they are taught and that they would remember what they are taught. So this is to protect our roots. It's to protect the building. It protects us being knitted together in love. And so we are a rooted people, a people that are being built up. And this teaching establishes, strengthens the faith. It will flow in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the natural result of what you've been taught. Thanksgiving is a natural result of being rooted and built up in him. Being thankful is a natural result because you're living and walking in him. God's people are meant to be a thankful people, full of thanks. Oh, come to him, Peter says, as a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You are living stones. You're being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want to suggest this morning Something about Thanksgiving that maybe you've not seen, or maybe it hasn't really registered before. That if we are thankful, it's helpful in our walk. If we're thankful, it's helpful how we live. If we're thankful, it's very helpful in being rooted and built up in Him. In fact, if we're thankful, it helps us to stay true to Christ and to Jesus. If we're thankful, it helps us stay on that path. You see, it's possible to be blessed, receive from God, to have answered prayer, and not be thankful. Isn't that amazing? That God can bless people. He can answer their prayer because He's love and He's full of grace. And people just get complacent and they don't stop to thank Him. Remember the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? One of them, when he saw he had been healed, returned and thanked Him. And he was the Samaritan. And I want to say this morning what Paul is getting at. Yes, there's someone who wants to take you captive. But if you like, a way of protecting is to have thankfulness in our lives. If we're thankful, it's much harder to uproot us. If we're thankful, it's much harder to persuade us that what the Bible says isn't true. A thankful people are a praising people. And this should be, I can't make you thankful. Thankful has to come from your heart. But Paul is saying, if you really understood what the Bible teaches, if you really understood what Jesus did for us on the cross, if you really understood what it meant to be born again and to cry, Abba, Father, oh, you would be so thankful. You'd be so full of gratitude. Paul is saying, be like the leper and be thankful. He had to go back, didn't he, and say, praise, full of praises, and say, thank you. When was the last time in our prayers did we really thank God? Oh, we might have done it when we first became a believer. We might have done it when we first became a Christian. But just as we are to continually live in Him, we are to continually be thankful. Thankful isn't just a once and then forget it. Thankfulness should be part of our DNA. Thankfulness should be something that we do naturally. Because we are so thankful, aren't we? Unless we have an attitude of thankfulness, the enemy can deceive his way into our lives. And we can so easily find ourselves agreeing with these false thoughts, these false teachings. And we can so easily be taken captive. We make his job easy when we're not a thankful, praising people of God. So we need to strive to fill our hearts with thanksgiving and guard our lives with gratitude. Can I say, and I think I might have said this last time, saying thanks or saying we're grateful doesn't seem adequate. Just doesn't seem enough. Doesn't seem to convey how we feel and how we think and how we believe and how thankful and full of gratitude we should be that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. So I want this morning, in a few minutes, to explain a little bit why I have come to believe why thankfulness is so important and maybe neglected by believers. Because maybe they don't see the importance of daily giving thanks to God. Romans 1 is a very well-known scripture, and people get very concerned and anxious when they read it. It describes God taking His hand or foot, whatever image you want, and letting people just do their own thing. But look at what Paul says in verse 21. Because They knew God. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, what Paul is saying in context is that they knew God by looking at creation, and they would look at all the wonders of creation, and we've sung about it this morning, and they didn't glorify him, and they weren't thankful, and therefore their foolish hearts were darkened, and they became futile in their thoughts. I want to say this morning, we as believers and followers of Christ, we could say that we've seen more than creation. We've understood more to be thankful about than just... We understand the cross, don't we? We understand what happened on the cross. And I think Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would say something like this. That if you knew God, if you know what the Bible teaches about the cross, his death, his suffering for our sin, how he became sin on the cross for us, and you do not glorify him, you do not give thanks to him, you're in danger of captivity by the enemy. He can have a grip on your life because you're not giving him thanks. He says the world see creation and don't thank him. Hey, you've had the privilege of seeing what the cross means. You've had the privilege of understanding Jesus. The Father has revealed to you by the Holy Spirit who Christ is. And he's saying, well, you've been taught that. You've understood that. The Holy Spirit revealed that. Oh, we should be so thankful, shouldn't we? Have a life of thankfulness. You know, if this does not lead to worship, if this does not lead to thankfulness, understanding the cross, understanding Jesus, we're in danger of being held captive. And this is Paul's heart. He's saying, thankful people make it difficult for the enemy. Being thankful will make his job so much harder because you're praising him and you're thanking him, you're worshiping him, you're glorifying him. And you know what the scripture says. You're thankful for the word. Well, I'm trying to say this morning, if our hearts do not respond to God with thankfulness, our minds can become darkened and we can surrender ourselves to the enemy. Oh, I want to say this morning, and I haven't got a proof text for this, but I think thankfulness guards us. Because if thankfulness is not there in our lives, we're not walking in him. We're not living in him. We're not being rooted and built up. So I want to say this morning with everything I can, guard ourselves with gratitude and thankfulness. And I just wish I had better words than gratitude and thankfulness, but I haven't. If you've got some better words, because I don't think that's enough to say, well, I'm thank you that you became... It just doesn't seem enough to just to say thank you, but I can't think of anything else. So what other things should thankfulness come into our lives? Well, these are from Colossians. He says in 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Another translation says the same verse, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This is our prayer life, thankfulness and watchfulness. Remember Jesus in the garden said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. In other words, guard yourself from temptation by watching in your prayer, by being alert, by being prayer. You see, if we're thankful, truly understand what's happened to us, guess what? We'll be prayers, won't we? Not only does it lead to worship and glorifying him, it will lead us, whether literally or symbolically, it will lead us onto our knees in prayer for ourselves and for others, because we're so thankful. We're so full of gratitude. And the way we pray and the way we watch is with thanksgiving. You see, if the enemy wants to have a go at individuals or a fellowship, he instructs them not to focus their energies on the prayerless believer, but the saint who is praying with thanksgiving and is watchful. Whenever you go into your prayer room or wherever you go, it is as though you're saying, I am grateful. I am thankful. It will help us, and if I'm repeating myself too much, I apologize, but it will help us being rooted. It helps us being built up. It helps us being knitted together. It helps us living and walking in Him. It helps us understanding the Word. It helps us to be established in the faith because we've been taught. Why? Because we're thankful. You know, I've seen books, you know, God's people are a happy people. God's people are a blessed people. I've never seen one that said God's people are a thankful people. It does seem that thankfulness doesn't seem to be high on the list of what we should be as Christians. But Paul puts a big emphasis on it. You all know these verses. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There it is again. How do we pray without being worried? How do we pray without being fearful? How do we pray with power? How do we pray in faith? How do we pray believing in a God who can do the impossible? It's with thanksgiving. And we neglect thanksgiving. Now I'm going to say something else where thanksgiving plays a part. You might not have thought of this one. You might have thought of prayer. That's quite an obvious one. But how about how we use this, our mouth? How about how we talk? Paul says in Ephesians, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather your speech should be of giving thanks. Well, a comparison. What an alternative. Instead of bringing people down, instead of your mouth not really representing what you believe, not representing Christ, he says, then let be filled with thanksgiving. How can we, if you like, stop if we've got a mouth that criticizes, or a mouth that gossips, or a mouth that's bitter, or a mouth that's always on the defensive, always full of resentment and complaining, disrespectful and ridicule? How can we guard ourselves having a mouth that can be just trivial, silly and petty? Paul says the answer is this. Fill your mouth with thanksgiving. If you're in a group of people and people are saying things they shouldn't, but someone then starts speaking positive and giving thanks for the people they're talking about, guess what? The whole thing will change. Thanksgiving has the power to change the conversation. Thanksgiving has the power to glorify and honor God. This other way of talking doesn't. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Receive the wealth of His grace in Jesus Christ. Fill your mouth with thanksgiving. Can we do that? Pray with thanksgiving? Guard our mouths with thanksgiving? It also says in Colossians, you could say Colossians is a book of being thankful. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be, you see, you know what comes next. The peace of God, you're in one body. You're thankful for the cross, yeah? You're thankful for what God has done. He says, now you're in one body, in this spiritual building, rooted, built up. Be thankful. Are you thankful for the fellowship? Are you thankful for one another? Are you thankful where God has placed you? Are you thankful that you're not here by accident? Are you thankful that there is not that you're here because this is what God has for you and for me? And what Paul says is, be thankful. May the peace of God rule in your hearts. So I'm going to put a little paraphrase. If you're not being thankful for where God has placed you, you won't have the peace of God. If you're not grateful and thankful for what God is doing in your life, the peace of God won't be there. Do you see how thankfulness protects you from being taken captive? Because not just the doctrines of Christ he wants to take you captive. He wants you to be full of doubts and confused and worry and anxiousness and everything else that doesn't go to being a follower of Christ. And if you're in a body that's being built up, knitted together, rooted, living and walking in him, not only will the peace of God be in your hearts, but you'll be so thankful that you're in a body that loves one another. You're in a body that cares for one another. You're in a body that's not complaining, not criticizing, not pulling down, but encouraging and strengthening. When you're in a body like that, living and being built up, guess what? You'll be... I'm glad you're with me. I'm glad you're with me. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. That is a blanket, everything. Everything we say and do, give thanks to him. Well, he told the church in Thessalonica, give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ooh, that's a toughie, isn't it? That's a difficult one. He didn't say for the situation, but he did say in every situation. For this is God's will for you, give thanks. Charles Spurgeon said this. Now, Charles Spurgeon, no, he was a very famous preacher, and he said some very wise and wonderful things. And people would think Charles Spurgeon was a wonderful example of a follower of Christ. But this is what he says on this verse. I have not always found it easy to practice this duty. I confess to my shame. When suffering extreme pain some time ago, a brother in Christ said to me, have you thanked God in this? I replied that I desired to be patient and would be thankful once I'd recovered. But said he, in everything give thanks, not after it is over, but while you are still in it. And perhaps when you are unable to give thanks for the severe pain, it will cease. Charles Spurgeon said, I believe that there was much force in that good advice. Don't wait until you're out of your trial. Don't wait until suffering has ceased. Don't wait till everything is fine and everything is brilliant and then I can now thank him. Paul says God's will for you is whatever's happening to you, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're going through, whatever difficulties, problems, struggles you have, he says give thanks. Give thanks while you're in that situation. And as Charles Spurgeon says, that is so, so difficult. See, a Christian who walks by faith accepts all circumstances are from God. He thanks God when everything goes good, when everything goes bad, and for everything in between. He thanks God, whether he actually feels like it or not. He gives thanks to God. Do you see how being thankful covers, virtually, in fact, covers our lives? You see, giving thanks guards you from feeling sorry for yourself. It will guard you from being bitter, thinking life is unfair, why me? Oh, give thanks, he's called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Learn to be content, you are the people of God. And even when we're struggling, even when we've got trials, even when we've got sickness, even when we've got problems, we can still be thankful. Why? Because you're still a chosen generation. You're still his own special people. You've still been called out of darkness into his marvellous light. Your circumstance does not change what God thinks of you. Your circumstance does not change God's opinion of you. Whatever you're going through, God is loving you just the same. But the danger is that we don't see it and we become bitter, resentful, and ask why, and we're not being thankful. Paul is saying there's someone to captivate you. Somebody wants to take you captive. So that your life is powerless, so that your life is not effective. And he says, be thankful. Be thankful. You see, it says in Colossians, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Doesn't matter what you're going through, you're still in his kingdom. You're still his child. So you can thank him. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. Isn't that so stunning? You know, another theologian has said this: the psalmist thanks God for testing his people, for refining them under the pressure of some difficult circumstance and sustaining them through that experience. This is the response of perceptive, godly faith. And it's not heard on the lips of those who thank God only when they escape trial or are feeling happy. God says, whatever you're going through, you can give him thanks. It will help you walk in him. It will help you live in him. It will help you be rooted. It will strengthen, establish your faith because you've been taught and you can be thankful. You know, we're going to sing a song, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Well, that was composed by a man called Henry Smith. Not many people know that. Most people think it was Don Moen, but no. It was Henry Smith. And for years, Henry Smith didn't get any recognition for it. Because if you've got some old cassettes or CDs, it will someday, if you've got that song, it might have in the brackets, composer unknown. It was years after that he was found to be the person who wrote it. He sang it in his church in Germany, and a German missionary then took it around the world, and that's how it spread. But why am I want to tell you about Henry Smith? He didn't write that song when everything in his life was going well. He didn't write that song when he was on cloud nine. He wrote that song when he was unemployed, no income. He wrote that song when he had financial insecurity, an uncertain future, and he was going blind. And by the time he was recognised as the author, he was registered blind. But even in those circumstances, he wrote, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. I tell you, when I found out the circumstance, doesn't it sort of change that song that he could say those words, unemployed, no money, going blind. He could still say, give thanks with a grateful heart. Some people in those situations become bitter. Not that guy. When we live in him, rooted, built, knitted together in love, established in faith by teaching, we give thanks. You all know this psalm. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Whatever is happening, we can and should give thanks. Don't give a place to the enemy who through your situation wants to take captive. Through your speech, he wants to take captive. Through teaching, he wants to take captive. Through your worship, he wants to take you captive. You know what will help us stop being captive in all those things? Free us to worship and live and walk in him, have all speech. It's by being thankful. It'll make a difference to our prayer lives. Well, time has escaped us again, but I have just about finished. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? Remember when he fed the 5,000? He took the loaves. What did he do? He didn't pray for them to be multiplied. It just tells us he gave thanks and then distributed to those who were seated. He gave thanks. A miracle happened. What happened at the tombstone of Lazarus? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. His thankfulness resulted in Lazarus being raised from the dead. And then the Last Supper. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, This, take this and share it among yourselves. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks. You see, Jesus knew the importance of giving thanks in prayer, in miracle. But most of all, he gave thanks that his body was going to be sacrificed. Because he knew what the bread and the cup signified, and he gave thanks for it. A bishop of Durham, I don't often quote a bishop of Durham, but he says this, the letter to the Colossians is actually saying one big thank you. And I wonder if he got it from a particular BBC show, I don't know. But he said that's what the letter to Colossians is all about. It's just saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, I'm going to stop there and just say, can I encourage all of us to be a people who are thankful for what God has done? We can be rooted. We can be built up. We can live. We can walk. We can be knitted together. We can be strengthened and established in the faith because our lives flow in thankfulness. And we won't be taken captive because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.